if you are genuine in trying to learn what they do, trying to bring value to them, you will get some tips and some ideas on how to grow your business and yourself. So surround yourself well. And actually a third form of that within the same tip, it's also surrounding yourself with people smarter than you within your business, smarter and better than you. Because an entrepreneur, contrary to a common belief, is not someone who is able to do everything. It's actually someone not necessarily able to do anything except bringing together a whole bunch of people who are experts in their field.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we get to speak with Karim Karechny. Join us as we take a walk down memory lane and rediscover Karim's remarkable origin story, filled with international experiences and lessons learned from diverse backgrounds. Karim shares insights into his entrepreneurial journey, starting with a cleaning business and transitioning into partnership-driven ventures. Learn how failures, trust, and detailed agreements have shaped his path to success. Tune in for valuable takeaways on building a thriving business. Karim, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Junaid, for having me. I was very much looking forward to this conversation. And by the way, congrats on your over 400 episodes. That's impressive.
Thank you so much. It's been a lovely journey. So thank you so much for the greetings. Thank you for the congratulations. Thank you for celebrating that with me. I really appreciate that. Now, let's take a walk down memory lane and rediscover your origin story. I know the journey is long, and who doesn't know how long this journey is? And I'm sure there was gear that you needed when you started that brought out your essence. Now, the question is, that gear something that you still need, or have you not used it anymore? So gear, in essence, is what are the things that enabled you to go through that journey and that was there for you all the time? So let's jump into that.
That's a very good question. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I'm trying to think how far back I should go. And since we have only, 45 minutes, an hour, so I'm not going to go too far. But long story short, I do have a pretty international and very background, pretty, you know, rich of experiences. I feel like I already lived three lives and I'm only 32. So I was actually, just for some background, I was born in Canada. I grew up in France. My parents are, or my family is actually in large part Algerian. So I have three type of roots and three passports, actually, three citizenships, wow, which I think early on put the seed of troubles in my mind. And fast forward a bunch of years, I started my career in sales, then moved to a little bit more of management. And very naturally, talking now 5 years ago, I started my first business. And that's really where I think I caught the entrepreneurship bug, meaning I now really strive in business and entrepreneurship, in the sense of that's really my focus and my passion, actually, I would say. And so my first business was in cleaning. I have a cleaning company, multiple locations in Canada. And then my next business has been, for the past year and a half now, a business that I started in partnership with propertyguys.com. And so to answer your question about the, I can talk further about Property Guys in a bit, but to answer further about to answer your question about the type of gears, I think it's been not only a natural transition to where I am, but also every part of my journey have added to what I'm doing now. In the sense of, very concretely, my sales background, I use it daily, not necessarily selling for what I'm selling, but also when I'm doing some recruiting, when I'm doing some networking, when I'm even doing some free consultations to people who want to start a business. So then my managerial background also has added to building good company culture in my first business and to what I'm doing nowadays. So every gear actually add up to the machine that my life will turn out to be.
No, that's so powerful, because it's the early on experience or the theory that you learn, and then you apply that theory, and now you have apply the theory and you figuring out, hey, what's really working. And then along the way, you make a ton of mistakes, which builds up into your experience, right? So putting all that together, it's always a brick on top of brick, because 1,000 bricks make a wall. You need all of those little bricks and all those little experiences to top the one on top of the other. So really awesome to see that you started really early on in that cleaning business. Then you moved into the managerial space, and that entrepreneur bug was just kept on keeping you going forward.
Yeah, and you learn, I'm talking in large field sales and management, but very concretely, you actually create some skills and generate some knowledge and some experiences. In sales, you learn to be tenacious. You learn to not take no for an answer. You learn to bring some good vibes to the conversation, to be in a good position mentally and genuinely believe in what you're doing. And that actually transpires to the client. All those things, you learn how to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, better than you in every field that where you need, whether it is accounting, marketing, web design, and so on and so forth. So all of those small bricks, as you mentioned, add up to your experience and expertise.
100%, man. And that as that, those gears add up to a bigger and much stronger, powerful machine, you essentially evolve and we get. And what's really cool is that you get influenced by the people around us. You get inspiration from the people around us, you get your encouragement, and then you're like, hey, I'm going in the right direction. Let's keep moving forward. Now let's delve a little bit deeper into your journey and which specific thing has been part of it that enabled you to continue moving forward. For example, exploring the specific stories that strike a chord with me. Like, what are some of the stories that enabled you to go from one phase, ending the phase one and beginning of phase two? What were some of those stories?
Sorry, once again, I'm completely blanking right now.
Like, what I'm stories? Glad that we can edit. I've been doing this the whole time.
Yeah, no, sorry, I was looking back at my journey, both with teammates early on, and often stories and learning experiences has come from whether it is mistakes or failures. And that's where you can build the most. Because typically when you're being successful, you don't actually try to milk some learning out of it. You're just satisfied. You tend to go towards contentment and satisfied where you are. So I was actually trying to reflect on one quote unquote failure that I had. That was with my cleaning business, where I started a different separate department, which was car detailing. And I partnered with a garage. I basically set up everything, purchased all the equipment, learned how car detailing works. And long story short, it failed for various reasons. But what I got out of it has been extremely valuable for then the next departments and even the next branch of teammates that we started shortly afterwards. And that has been extremely valuable on the way to set up the partnership. I always been very trusty and trusting. And I think it is important in business to trust one another. I tell them, you know, we have to trust one another 100%. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Similarly with clients in any field, trust you to provide whatever service you promise to provide. But when you're starting a business or starting a new department or anything like that, you need to have some agreements in writing, in place, really clear, really detailed. And I learned that with that experience, where pretty much I got screwed over. And it wasn't, you know, too damaging. I didn't lose that much money. And as I said, it was, at the end of the day, when you look back, a good learning experience. But we didn't have a proper agreement in place where we were on the same page. And so as soon as some hiccups and some challenges came up, we threw the blame at one another, and it is what it is. But from there on, shortly after that, as I said, we started our branch of teammates in Ottawa. And even though that was one of my closest friends and still is, actually, and we were working really well together, we actually had in place an agreement that was very detailed, very thorough. We never, thankfully, never had to use it and go back to it and be like, hey, you're supposed to do this, but we have it and it gives peace of mind. So that's the one story that came to mind, but there are so many more.
Man, I love what you shared. You're in the cleaning business and you're like, hey, I'm cleaning homes already. Why not start a car detailing business? It's very similar because you're cleaning something. And what's interesting is that there's a huge overhead that you did not realize that you had to take under, right? You need this place for where the cars could come so that you can detail them. You needed additional equipment for
finding the right person also to actually do the work. That was exactly one of the big struggle, because compared to cleaning, that's something I didn't foresee, but it is very technical. It had much higher risk of damaging the car compared to cleaning a home. You don't have that much risk. And so I tried 10 different detailers of various levels of experience. And I ended up giving up on finding someone, because either they have enough skills and experience and they're going to go to maybe something more established or start their own thing or whatnot.
Or ask for more money.
More money. Mm-hmm. When you're starting this department, there isn't that much profit to play with. And on the other end of the spectrum, I had some who weren't that motivated, weren't that good, and so on. So I tried a bunch of people and I ended up partnering. So we were partnering with a garage that was a friend of mine, just to use the spot certain days of the week. And we ended up agreeing to have one of their guy who was good at detailing to do the work, which worked for a little while. And then all of a sudden I saw they weren't taking the responsibility when there was a mistake. It was on me, even though they were the one doing it. Things like that came up and we didn't have really anything in place to in case something like that happened. So basically it imploded after just a few months of them taking over that side. And I just decided it wasn't worth my time for the amount of income generated by that department. I was personally spending a lot of time in it, even though I had, as a business owner, you're not supposed to be hands-on. You're supposed to delegate and automate and so on. And I was spending a lot of my time going there. And I even did some of the cleanings myself to learn the job. Anyhow, it wasn't worth it. And it's okay.
No, you're absolutely right. And what some of the things that I'm thinking about is, one, think of the number of people that live in homes versus driving homes. Like, we have a lot more experience in cleaning homes because as young children, we're not driving cars. As young children, we are taught to clean homes. So we have a better expertise in cleaning homes than to clean cars. So that makes sense. So there's a lot more technicality, like you mentioned, which is really interesting, because car detailing is a very niche type of business as well. And there's a ton of people making a ton of money. And that's probably why it's like, hey, I want to step into this business. But again, they've had that much more experience to go into it before they started it. So it's really reflecting on these experiences, reflecting on what it takes, and is it really worth my time if I can't find the right people? Totally makes sense, because again, your passion might lie in some places where it might not be in other places. And I love what you had the takeaway. So what was the next business after that one?
Actually, just to follow up on that, and I'll answer your question, but something that just came to mind, it's not actually necessarily the money aspect, even though, yes, there is a lot of money in detailing, but that wasn't actually the initial reason, the original reason why I started this. It's really for the demand. It's also the reason why I started the cleaning company in the first place, because I noticed the demand in the market. Then the detailing, because we had people asking constantly about, hey, do you also do cars? Can you do my car? And so on. And similarly, to transition to my current business with Property Guys, that's also the reason why Property Guys started and why I jumped into Property Guys, because there is a real, not just a need, but an actual demand from the market for something different. In this case, it is being able to buy and to sell real estate in particular differently for a lot less money. Because as you probably know, when you want to sell your house or your commercial property, whatever it might be, it actually costs a lot of money nowadays in North America. Yeah, between the commission to the realtors, as well as the lawyer, the photographer, the stager, the inspector, the drone shot, and so on and so forth. All of that can go up to 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 grand, depending on the value of your property, because it's all linked to how much your property is worth. And I don't think it is normal. And a lot of people in the industry, a lot of people in real estate, whether it is clients or real estate agents or mortgage brokers are starting to see a shift in the industry. And that's where mm-hmm. Property Guys really came in 25 years ago with an amazing offering. And they are even more relevant nowadays. That's why I'm so excited to be working with them, because there is that real need, that real demand in the industry. So what does Property Guys do for your property? You can actually customize it as much or as little service as you need. And all of that is for one-time flat fee, all included. And that one-time flat fee is in the $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000 range. So 10 times less to sell your house for the same result. And often for even a smoother experience, a more enjoyable experience. So that's what really makes the strength of Property Guys. It brings so much value to so many people. And where I come in with all of that, it is in the franchise, in the business side of things, which is franchising. So I'm in charge in Massachusetts specifically to find franchisees, so people who will champion this model, grow this model in their local community. So they will own a Property Guys franchise, which is a business. Yeah. They will own a business that will operate under the Property Guys banner and systems and services. That makes sense?
Yeah, that's really powerful, because here's the thing that human beings love to avoid. They like to avoid friction. That's why escalators are used more than elevators, because you don't have to wait for the doors to open. Or people, as human beings, as natural, we love to avoid friction. So the simpler process you can do for your customers, the more happier they're going to be, the more they're going to recommend. And it all comes down to that customer experience, that user experience. And these are some of the terms that we've been hearing them for the past decade and a half. And it's not that they weren't there before. It's just that it's much more simplified. It's much more, what's that word? People are more aware of them, because the thing that happened in the last almost 20 years, or I want to say in the last 17 years, is that we were introduced to something very powerful that we did not know that we needed. And that's our smartphone. It changed the world from what it was before. Not a lot of people had phones. If they did, they just did phone calls or some email, which was very antiquated. But then when the iPhone was introduced, the experience was what everybody was focusing on. And now that has expanded to billions of people that are now using this device. And as newer companies come out, they're creating these solutions, like Property Guys created is amazing solutions. So thank you for sharing how easy it makes for buying and selling homes. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the system that you've created.
I didn't create it, just to be
right.
to be
the
fair.
The system that you got attracted to, right? You got attracted
exactly,
to the system.
Exactly.
Like, hey, oh my God.
And I'm bringing it to a new market, which is Massachusetts and New England at large. And I'm bringing it to real estate professionals, specifically real estate agents. That those are the typically the best fit. Real estate agents and mortgage brokers, they are the best fit to be franchisee. Why? Yeah. Because they also have a need. So not only it's a model that is great for buyers and sellers, because it solves a need. It allows them to sell, to save dozens of thousands of dollars in the process, and so on and so forth. But it's also amazing for the franchisee, because take an agent, for example. There is 27,000 agents in Massachusetts, in Eastern Mass alone, and there are hundreds of thousands in the US. The vast majority of them are not successful, or they are barely making a living, or they're making an okay living. They got in this industry because they wanted to make a killing, and they love the industry. And so being able, when they become a franchisee, they get a whole bunch of benefits and value compared to what they're doing currently. Not only they get to stand out from the crowd, they're doing something different than everyone else. So they attract a whole bunch of clients organically just from that aspect. They get to be exclusive in an area, take Boston, Essex County, Cape Cod, wherever it might be in Massachusetts, they're one out of one. So anyone wanting to work with Property Guys as a brand, as a company, they become these franchises clients automatically. So they don't have to do as much prospecting, because when you think about it, agents do so much prospecting. It's actually the majority of what they spend their time doing, and a lot of them hate it. So there are so many benefits in becoming a franchisee. And one of the big ones also is to own a business. So many people want to own a business, whether it's agents or anyone, just average Joe, they want to own a business. They just don't know how to start, what to do. They don't want to fail in the first 2 years like most startups do. Yeah. And so going into a franchise when you're in a proper guys franchise, when you're passionate about real estate in particular, it's a perfect solution for someone who wants to start a business because the system is already there. The brand is already there. And the franchisor, the company provides so much value and services to the franchisee, marketing service, web development, lead generation, whole bunch of things that makes things a lot easier for a first-time entrepreneur.
That's really powerful. Let me understand. The Property Guys system is designed for individual realtors. So you got to have a realty license first.
No,
you don't.
Sorry.
How does that work then?
It is designed for an aspiring entrepreneur. And it is a great fit for a realtor that might be looking at doing things differently. It is a great fit for a mortgage broker, for example, who might want to have a second hat to diversify their income and maximize their income by having a different business and mixing their clients from one to the other.
Okay.
It is a great fit for an investor because they can really benefit from their franchise. They're the first one seeing all those leads and all those property for sale. So they can, once again, diversify and maximize. But amongst all, and it is a great fit for a veteran, a nurse, a teacher, you know, someone who wants to start their first business.
Right.
But they don't need to have a real estate license to answer your question. And that's one of our selling points because a lot of people are reluctant to get their license. Why they don't need to have a license? Because the services amongst those packages, the services are licensed services, can be delegated. We do partner with small independent local brokerages that provide just those one or two services that are within those packages. And we also have neighboring franchisees that actually help one another. So if you have a neighboring franchisee who is licensed, he can provide those services for you. And so that's one of the beauty as well. Every franchisee actually do work with one another and their success ripples on the neighboring franchise. So the more your neighboring franchisee is successful, the more you will be successful. Which is the exact opposite to what agents go through, where they are all in competition with one another.
With one another. Wow. Okay. This is really interesting. I'm going to have to learn more. You're here to teach us what you've been providing service and helping others launch new franchises. Now, one of the things that I've realized is if I were to ask you, okay, what is the majority of the type of people that are coming in and joining the franchise?
What's their majority? A very good question. Yeah.
What's their background?
Yeah, no, it is a very good question. And that's something that I dug into because last year I was very versatile and I was saying, hey, I want to talk to anyone because anyone has the potential to start a business. And I asked myself this exact question, and it's actually a tip to all entrepreneurs. You should take a step back and actually wonder, what is your actual target audience? Because if everyone is your client, no one is your client.
Exactly.
And even though we absolutely welcome, as I mentioned, a veteran, a new graduate, a retiree that might have the right potential for a franchisee, and we've had many of those specific type of people that were franchisees, successful franchisee. We had hundreds of franchisees over the years. But I realized that the most successful ones and the majority of successful franchisee came from the real estate industry and specifically either were or are agents. So they have a license or they used to have their real estate license. We're mortgage brokers or real estate investors. That's actually why just before I mentioned those are the people that I target, even though I can accept a ton of different backgrounds. But my focus is on those three categories.
I really like that. And what's really interesting is it's literally in the name, like Property Guys. What does property mean? It's real estate. Right. So people from different backgrounds who are thinking about going into properties or thinking about going to real estate, you resonate. So they already have to be on that path. That customer journey has to be, they're doing some research around properties. They're doing some research around real estate. And when you show up in front of them, oh my God, this is so much easier than doing all of that other stuff.
You hit the nail on the head, actually, because you just reminded me who have been to You actually answered your own question, because who have been the majority of our franchisees? They actually have been clients of Property Guys in the first place. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to my colleague in Canada, who basically does the same thing in Canada. And she told me that a lot of franchisees were actually property sellers. They use Property Guys. They love the experience. They look into they looked into becoming franchisee. Yeah. And obviously, they have been amongst the most successful because they've been on both sides of the board or of the table. And so they can express and share even better how amazing of an experience and an opportunity it is for buyers, for sellers, and so on.
I think that's the importance, right? You got to be able to relate to the product. Why do we talk about the iPhone and the smartphone? Because we've experienced it from firsthand experience, right? Why do companies require you to acquire their product before you join their affiliate program? Because you have to believe in what you're selling. And once you believe, you can then make other people believers out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Sales is a transfer of emotions. It is not just giving a pitch. It's actually listening and understanding the situation of the person, finding what their pain points might be. They might not even know what their pain point might be. They might not even be able to express themselves what their pain points might be. But if you know your product, your service, your industry already well, you will figure out what those people in front of you need. And then simply offering a solution that is adapted to them within their budget and so on and so forth. That's what sales is. And to express it, to communicate it with passion and with knowledge about this product or this service. That's textbook definition of what sales is.
And if you go a little bit deeper and backtrack a little bit about the belief, we have both of you and I, we're Muslims, we practice Islam and whatnot. And you've probably seen people when we're at Jummah and whatnot, there's a new person who's entering Islam. Why is that? They now believe what we believe and they've experienced that. So it's really interesting how religion works and how sales work. Like, it's not that how different things work, it's that it's how human beings work.
Yeah.
We just can give it a different name, but that's literally how we work. We associate with each other and we like what the other people like. If we like them, we want to mimic that, what we see.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Thanks for bringing that up. Actually, that's a very interesting reflection. And from all the converts that I've met over the years, I haven't always been religious. I became religious only 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Some things happened in my life that made me open my eyes and dig into it and actually decide to commit to Islam because I genuinely believed it was the truth. And that's the thing with, I want to say all converts that I've met, recent and old converts, it always starts with something emotional, something that happens in their lives, whether it is a death, a near-death experience, something in their family, whatever it might be, a difficulty. And that's when they start looking into religions or Islam in particular. And obviously, once they've done that, and as in Islam, it's not just emotional, it's not just faith-based, especially at first. You actually are encouraged to learn, read, discuss, debate, and so on. And once you actually have the conviction for a whole bunch of reasons, there are so many reasons to be convinced to that Islam is the truth, the miracles that you can actually see, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Once you're convinced, then you should jump the step and convert, and it becomes your way of life. Yeah. And your way of life, it also transpires to your business and to your work. And there are so many, I'm sure you would agree with that, there are so many benefits being religious and Muslim to grow your business and to be successful in business.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And the more practicing you become, the more support you're getting from the unseen.
That's true. Yeah.
And you will not know where things are coming from. And you can trace back, oh, this happened and then this happened and this happened. But then if you are really paying attention to what you're actually doing, it's gonna be like, oh my God, this would not happen if this didn't happen, but these wouldn't have connected if I didn't have the belief and the support from the unseen.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I've seen personally in my life some, you can call that miracle straight up, even if not everyone has seen it. I have experienced this and I experienced it. I'm going to give you a short story from when I actually reconverted. I say reconverted because I grew up from a Muslim family, but as I said, I was not practicing and I didn't know much about the religion and so on. And so when I actually decided to reconvert and to ask for forgiveness for everything that I've done and to start fresh, because when you repent, when you convert or when you repent sincerely, everything is wiped out, which is amazing in Islam. It's pretty simple and also deep. But anyhow, when I did, it just so happened that when I was moving from out west to out east in Canada, meaning I was being uprooted from my social circles with whom I was partying and so on and so forth, to a brand new city where I was fresh, where I didn't know pretty much anyone. And I just so happened to move in a place that I signed up for the lease before arriving. And it happened to be 5 minutes away from the largest mosque in Eastern Canada.
Oh, wow.
So obviously, very naturally, I started spending a lot of time there because that was when I was learning how to pray and learning the Quran and so on. And so obviously, this has also 10x my knowledge and my practice, because you're surrounded with practicing people who go to the mosque and you hear some lectures and so on.
Yeah.
And that's also about a month later. So after moving to a brand new place near the mosque, I was doing something different. I was in sales. And that's when my first business, Steammate, almost came to me on a silver platter. I'll pass the details, but in the first couple of weeks, I was actually with a partner who brought the idea of starting something in steam cleaning. And I was also noticing some demand in the industry. We partnered for about 2 weeks, and then he actually moved on to something else. So we started this business together, and then he moved on. And I had a business in my hands that I genuinely believed in. And when I look back, I'm like, this is incredible, because I had no intention to start a cleaning company, and I probably would not have done it on my own if I didn't have someone literally giving me this push in the first 2 weeks. That cannot be from anyone else than God. It's pretty obvious.
It's so true. And the miracles are all around us. We just have to open our eyes and see. But unfortunately, we're just focused on looking at other people's successes and not realizing what success we're putting off, because we're not even taking that shot. So thank you so much for sharing and bringing that story. Let's take a quick break. I love all the journey that you've shared, the deep dive into what enabled you to get to the space that you are in, the company that you're working with, Property Guys, is amazing opportunity. I know a few real estate agents myself that I'm definitely going to refer to. I'm like, you guys need to check this out. Some family members and whatnot. But let's take a quick break.
You.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's take a brief moment to pause, allowing our listeners to reflect on your journey thus far before we delve deeper into actionable insights. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with Ecamm Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm and download your studio today. Start creating with Ecamm Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm. Or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back. Yes. We've been talking with Kareem. It's been an amazing and awesome conversation. We're talking anywhere from starting your own business, getting and learning from mistakes, and reflecting on what enabled us to go from one space to the other space to the next level. And what's beautiful is that we're going to have some really cool things. So Kareem, let's transition. And could you please share three pivotal tips or hacks that our listeners might integrate into their own journeys? These could be reflections from your experiences that stand out as a universal, applicable, or beneficial.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. And actually, it's going to be tough to limit myself to three, but I'll do my best. So first thing I can think of is to surround yourself. So that can take multiple forms, finding a mentor. So someone who is where you'd like to be and learning from that person how they got there and trying to apply. But I also can take the form of networking and surrounding yourself with people within the same industry or other industries, but like-minded people along those conversations. If you are genuine in trying to learn what they do, trying to bring value to them, you will get some tips and some ideas on how to grow your business and yourself. So surround yourself well. And actually a third form of that within the same tip, it's also surrounding yourself with people smarter than you within your business, smarter and better than you. Because an entrepreneur, contrary to a common belief, is not someone who is able to do everything. It's actually someone not necessarily able to do anything except bringing together a whole bunch of people who are experts in their field. And once again, I'm talking marketing, I'm talking web design, I'm talking sales, I'm talking in the technical aspect of your business. On my end, it was cleaning in the previous business, management, and so on and so forth. So finding those people and organizing those people. That was all the first tip.
Look at that.
The second one is to also be organized in your goals and in your vision. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're probably not going to go anywhere. And if you only have a goal but no action plan in between how to get there, as we say, a goal without a plan is just a dream. So you're dreaming that you're going to be a millionaire and you're going to have 100 employees. If you don't know how to get there and you don't have a clear action plan year by year, month by month, week by week, and even day by day, how to get there, how many phone calls you should make, how many people you should meet, how many pitches you should give, whatever it might be, you're probably never going to get there. So have a clear goal and a clear plan how to get there. That was number two. And now number three, I'm going to try to do some kind of summary of how religion, faith, Islam has helped me in my business, all of that into one item.
Absolutely.
I think not only trying to constantly being honest, trustworthy, ethical in whatever you're doing is highly important, because even if you can screw someone over, you can maybe make a little bit more money, maybe a lot of money on one deal, but you know that you're not ethical and you're not being honest, it will always come back to bite you in the behind.
Right.
But also once you actually reach any kind of success, to constantly being grateful for where you are and for what you have. Because if you're not grateful and you're not content for where you are, you're always going to be in this bad mindset of complaining about what you have and where you are. And again, if you're someone religious, gratitude is something extremely important for whatever we have. And even if we don't feel that we are successful, we should be grateful to have a roof above our head, to have some food on the table, to have a family, to have health, for all of that, because so many people don't. You realize that you're actually extremely blessed wherever you might be in your life and in your business.
Man, I cannot thank you enough for those powerful hacks, compressed hacks. We're going to have to write 3 books on each one of those hacks, because like literally it's amazing, like condensing that information to a small piece so people can take action to is really a powerful skill that you've developed over the years. So thank you so much for putting that together for us.
Thank you for your kind words. That's very, very nice of you.
Absolutely, man. Some of the things that we've talked about is surrounding people with a like-mindedness, right? And that's something that you got to experience when you moved closer to that mosque. You surrounded yourself with people that had clear minds, had clean minds, helped you to clean your mind. Right, so having people around us that are God conscious, that are heart centered, is so much more important than focusing on the bad stuff, because it's easy to focus on the bad stuff, but it takes a lot of energy to keep the lights on, to keep the car running, right? You need gas to keep the car running, but you don't need none gas to stop and do nothing. And that's what most people do, is complain and stop and do nothing because they don't want to expend the energy to actually the goodness. So when people say, hey, why are you positive all the time? It takes energy to be positive. If I didn't do that, it's easy to be negative because it literally attracts everything. All right, let's jump into the rapid fire question. If you want to reflect on that, I'm happy to accommodate that as well.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with you. And also, again, talking about religion, when you know that things are at the end of the day are not in your hands, it's very freeing. So you do put the actions and you ask God for the results. But at the end of the day, the results are not in your hands. So when you actually realize that there is no stress, I'm just focusing on doing my best at what I'm doing and asking for whatever I want to get. And then hopefully I'll get it. Maybe I'll get something better. Maybe I'll get something different. And so that actually gives a lot of peace of mind and allows you to really move forward instead of always looking back.
Man, that put tears in my eyes. That's exactly what I needed to know, that it's not on us. And even in the Quran, even in Hadith, it says, just deliver the message. And we were sent messengers, they were not managers of making sure that you do the work. They're just sending you the message. You do what you can with it. So thank you so much for bringing that to attention.
Of course.
All right. Let's jump into these rapid fire questions. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
I don't know how it's called, wingsuit or basically jumping from
a base jumping.
I don't know if it's base jumping, because base jumping, I think you have a parachute.
You have a parachute, okay.
With a wingsuit, you go and fly. And actually, all those kind of activities, that's something that I always dreamt of doing, and I might get myself into it, but I don't know. I feel like I'm getting older and older.
You want to get into wingsuit flying, essentially, basically like Batman.
Yes, that's right.
I love it. All right. Rewinding time, what childhood dream job did you aspire to, and how does it contrast with your current career?
For the longest time, and until relatively recently, actually maybe 5 or 6 years ago, my goal was to have an Oscar, to be an actor, have an Oscar. And a lot of things I was doing, I was trying to make it lead to that. And after a while, I realized, actually, I'm not creating much value. I'm not bringing anything to the world. So I lost interest.
That's really interesting. I like it. So you wanted to be an actor. You were like, you know what? It's not going to bring anything to any...
I felt that it didn't, to be frank, I also felt that it didn't match really well with when I actually converted to Islam. I felt that it wasn't really part of the ideal jobs, let's say, as a Muslim. And there are lots of risk of going into sins, whether it is alcohol and those kind of things. Yeah, I just felt that maybe going towards something that is more humble and more actually bringing value, concrete value to people, that really started to drive me a lot more than just acting. Arrogance, I think, is something that can also easily come when you become an actor and the more famous you become and so on. And I prefer to stay away from all of that.
That's so true. That's so interesting. And if you look at some examples of some really good actors who've played good roles, but they're also humble, right? It's so important. And what's interesting is the next question, from screen to life, can you share a movie or TV show that not only entertains you, but also offers a lesson that resonated with your life or career journey?
So one of the movies, and I have, again, many favorite movies. The first one that come to mind now is Fight Club. Fight Club, actually, two, I'm going to mention two, I'm sorry. No Fight problem. Club, and the other one is the movie with Jim Carrey, where he's in a world where he's the...
He plays God.
God? Where he's always on camera, but he doesn't know it.
Oh, The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. So those are two of my favorite four movies. Actually, just to rewind, so let's do it better. So two of my favorite movies, because I'm going to give you two, Fight Club and The Truman Show. Fight Club, because I think it is a really good criticism of society. It really, I don't know, opened my eyes, on top of being super entertaining and amazing actors, really opened my eyes on this consumerism world and so on. And I was starting to become more minimalistic when I first watched it. So it really resonated with me. And I watched it dozens of times since. And The Truman Show, what I love about it is his tenacity in finding the truth, even though the whole show and the whole world was trying to keep him into this little bubble, and realizing that this is not real, and I need to find the truth. Even though I will have all those challenges along the way, he was scared of water and he still went and jumped through the water and so on. And then opened himself to the real world. I think it's also very, I'm thinking about it now, very good comparison to in Islam, this world we live in, which is super temporary and it really doesn't matter. And the real life is the afterlife, which is eternal and actually matters. So everything that we do here lead us to the real life, which is forever.
That's so true. My God.
It's a great reflection on that, actually. And you making me notice it live.
What's beautiful about it is because the idea of this question is to help you rethink what you really wanted to do at a very different time and how you can bring what you're doing now into that person's mindset. So imagine yourself on the silver screen, if you could embody a character from any movie, who would it be? And how does this character's journey mirror or contrast with your own?
Sorry, you need to pause here because I was not expecting that question. I'm blanking once again. From a character from a movie that I would... Honestly, I have nothing coming to me. Do you have maybe another question?
I have many questions, of course. So the question is, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it? So I've basically reworded it a little bit to say how that would do better. But if you don't have an answer of what movie...
Yeah, I don't have any inspiration on that one. I apologize.
All right, no problem. All right, next up. Navigating through the world of superheroes, who's your favorite? And is there a particular trait that possesses... you wish to embody or believe you already do in your professional life?
I'm thinking of Iron Man, which is not very original, but actually the reason why I'm thinking about Iron Man, not only I love the arc, the development of the character from when you watch again the first one to the last one, how he evolved in good, in righteousness and in his motivation and so on. I absolutely love that. It's probably the one of the characters that has the best and the most complete arc, and something that I would like from this character to for me to embody. It was a tough sentence, obviously being a billionaire, but also having the creativity to create, whether it is the machines or the systems or everything that you need to solve whatever problem. I think that relates very well to being an entrepreneur, because you're a problem solver. In his case, it is creating those high tech. And in the case of an entrepreneur, it can be solving a conflict or how you can reach that client or how you can make X amount of money. So it does relate.
I love it. I love it, man. All right. Last up, if your career or personal journey were a board game, which one would it be and why? Is there a strategy in the game that you find applicable in real life scenarios?
So two of my favorite games might not be very known. People should leave in the comments if they actually know those games. There is in English, it's the Werewolf of something. It's actually a French game, but now it's getting more popular worldwide. Okay. And the other one is named Jungle Speed. I think it's also a French game, so maybe few people know about it. But it's basically a game where you have to pay close attention and catch the stick in the middle of the table faster than others. And you can actually fight with the others to get it and so on. So it's a really fun game. I advise anyone to check it out. How does that relate to business? I couldn't tell you. Maybe trying to be the first, maybe paying attention to details is highly important. In the game Werewolf, where you have to embody some characters and not being detected by the others and so on, same thing, being aware of your surrounding and being aware of trying to see through other people's games and other people's play. In sales, that's what it is. It's actually being able to read someone very quickly and very clearly in a matter of seconds and seeing through the bullshit and actually being able to deliver what's best for them.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of link, but those are two great games. You should check out.
I love it, man. Thank you so much again for the conversation and sharing. Where can my superpreneurs find you?
I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if people want to just write my name, it's probably in the title, write my name on LinkedIn, you will find me. And if you're an interesting profile, I will accept you. And we can open conversations on pretty much anything. But specifically, if someone is in Massachusetts, Texas, Florida, in some of those states where PropertyGuys is operating, definitely reach out. I can tell you more about it. And if you want to learn more without talking to me, they can simply check out PropertyGuysFranchise.com. PropertyGuysFranchise.com or simply Google Property Guys Massachusetts and you will find plenty of materials and websites about me and about us.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much again. And we'll be sure to include those links in the show notes so folks can get to them quickly. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me. I think it was one of my favorite podcast recording and episode. Genuinely, I loved being here. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Kareem. Thanks so much. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Congratulations. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hexandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hexandhobbies.com website.